Unusual for me to be doing this, but it's very good. And what a privilege it is to be able to do it. Imagine Pastor Lisa asking me to do it while she's away. Golly, she's game. But I do lift her and Elton up in honour. Just their steadfastness in following the Lord and submitting to Him. And that their feet are truly planted on His rock, Jesus' rock, standing firm with Him. And that leads me to my title, Standing Firm with Jesus. Standing firm with Jesus today. So Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. He is a faithful God. So I'm continuing on with Sermon on the Mount, and I'm actually finishing it off from Matthew 7:13-29. That's what I'm doing today. But I'm just going to pray now, if we could, which would be awesome. It's good to pray. It's good to ask the Lord. So, Lord, I thank You so much that You do have a hold of us. As the song said, You have the universe. You have everything. You have an individual, one of us, holding on to us, Lord. You have us in Your hand. And I pray that we can see a little bit more of that today. I pray that we can understand how much You love us, how much You have of us, how much You have a hold of us, even when we don't think You do. Thank You, Lord. Amen. It's funny, when I was getting up here, I thought there might be a box, rows of tissues across the front here after what Elton said last time. It's because I am a rather emotional person. Oh, this isn't in here, but when I was growing up, men didn't cry. That was the thing you didn't do. But as I got to know the Lord, that's where I broke free. And I was able to cry as a man, a passionate man who loves God. And when His love comes upon me, I just blubber sometimes. It's a bit embarrassing, but we do it. God is good. So throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, it's basically about how we really want to be devoted followers of Jesus, teaching us to be devoted followers of Jesus. And Pastor Lisa mentioned a bit about that last week. It's guiding us through reshape, redefine, reimagine who we are, transforming us beyond self. That's what it's doing. That's what the whole sermon is doing. When we enter His gate, we bear much fruit and we'll stand firm with Him, with Jesus, who is the rock. We will. Now, Mel, can you put up the first photo, thanks? First photo. Oh, you can see, that's the one I love very much, Kobe. And of course, there's someone else there as well, Eve. That's Wolga Rock. That's in basically the centre of WA. It's 48 kilometres from Kew, and it's in the Lake Austin area. Now, Wolga Rock is 5 kilometres in diameter and 1.5 kilometres long. It's a big rock. It's the second largest monolith rock to Uluru, Ayers Rock. Ayers Rock is the largest monolith rock in the world. So we have in WA the second largest in the world rock, one single rock. And we visited it and had a look underneath that hangover bit at the back. There are lots of Aboriginal paintings and so forth. Amazing rock to go and look at, and not a long way away. I said from Kew, didn't it, which is on the Great Northern Highway. Can we go to the first video? Thanks, Mel.
I'm heading to the top, puffing a bit. I just came back around. Eve's down here somewhere. There she is down there. You can see her. Mum. And I'm going to keep going up. Up there. It's steeper than a little. I'm heading to the top. Puffing a bit. I just came back around.
Oh, you can stop it, Mel. I didn't realise it would keep going. As you can see, it's a long rock.
Oh, I'm right on top. Whew. Again, all the way around on the horizon. You can see a fair distance. It's a big rock. Second biggest to Uluru or something. I might stand up on that and take a picture.
Can you stop it there, Mel? Yep, good. That's good. Now, that rock, I just said then that I might get up there and take a photo. That's a lot higher than it looks. It's well above my head. And I thought, oh, well, I get up on it. So I walked around to the front of it and I looked at it and thought, now, if I try to shimmy up on that, being the age I am, shimmy up on that, I could end up back down where Eve is with a broken leg and a broken arm and whatever else. So the fruit of me getting up on that, having a broader look at things, a wider look, was not going to be good, I didn't think. Whereas where I'm standing there, it is firm ground, firm rock, firm feet, very safe, very secure. Thanks, Mel. You can get rid of that. So look, that rock is an enormous rock. They're enormous rocks, but they break up, don't they? Over time, little bits and pieces break off and they get cracks in them and so forth. But our rock, the one I'm talking about today, doesn't. Our rock is so firm, a lot firmer than that rock. It doesn't move, our rock, Jesus. So chapters 7, 13 and 9 are really to do with who Jesus belongs to. Or who belongs to Jesus. Now I'm going to break it up into three parts. The narrow gate, the fruit and the firm foundation. These verses present a clear choice for Jesus' followers by offering in two examples. So two gates, two fruits or two foundations. Okay. So I'm just going to go through these eventually 13 to 29, but just skimming through them. I'm not going through all the verses, just picking out ones that I want. And so we're looking at the narrow gate for a start, and verses 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. 14. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will find it. When we first become Christians, we choose the narrow gate. That's what we do. We enter his gate, the narrow gate, not the broad gate that takes us to hell. Jesus said in John 10:9, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pastures. And in John 14:6, Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And now if we go to the fruit in verses 18, 19, and 20. I'm just skimming over these, as I said, so we'll come back to other things in a minute. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce fruit, good fruit, is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Bit harsh, isn't it? Yes, just as you can identify a tree that bears fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Now, this is about assessing who were false prophets and telling by their fruit whether they were good or bad things come out of their lives. If it was bad, was it revealing God? No, it wasn't. If good come out of their lives, it was really revealing God. They were good prophets. Really, any Christian who gives you advice, you need to look at their lives. We need to ascertain whether they have the love of God in them. That's the main thing. They have God as love number one in their life, you're hitting the mark, so to speak. But also look at the rest of the fruit. So building on a firm foundation, verses 25 and 26. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But everyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. It's like a person who builds a house on sand. When we listen and surrender and obey the Lord, our lives are built on a firm foundation, not on sand. We don't sink. And then verse 24, therefore anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built a house on a rock. That's 24. Right. Now I want to make it personal, as I do. So many of you know that we do devotionals, so I sort of work on a devotional thing. So a lot of testimonies come out of devotionals. So when we do things, when we make choices, they're either for the Lord or for us. Do they fit with the scriptures, or are we surrendering to Jesus? are they surrendering with Jesus? Is it our ego, our self-will? I'll do it my way. And that's my big one. I want to do it my way. I want to do everything my way, nearly. When we do things, our ways are walking on shaky ground. When we do things our way, we're walking on shaky ground. And things can turn out bad. Bad fruit can come for it, and we can sink. When we choose to seek out the Lord, the end result is walking with peace, confidence, and love of God. And the fruit gives us sure-footedness as we keep walking. Now, I'm just going to refer to Peter of the Gospel. Not Peter here, Peter of the Gospel. This Peter made quite a... I don't know, Pete might make a few mistakes now and again, Sky. This Peter made a few mistakes at times. And just for us to get a bearing on him and how many times he chose the wrong gate at the start but ended up choosing the right gate because he went with his ego, his will, his own strength. So some of Peter's failures were him and the others wanted to keep the little children away from Jesus. He was full of selfish ambition, arguing with the disciples. He tried to walk on water but lost faith. This is in Matthew 14:21. But Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why do you doubt?" Then he was rebuked by Jesus and was called Satan. A bit harsh. Didn't want Jesus to wash his feet again. Didn't want to surrender to Jesus. Well, it seems like that. He denies knowing him. That was a big one. He feels a failure and returns to fishing after he did that. But in Acts 2:14, it changes. At Pentecost, things changed. The Holy Spirit empowers him and he speaks with strength to the Lord's people, truth to the people. He chose the right path, the right gate, through the right decisions. His heart was on the right path with the Lord. And the fruit was evident in his life. His leadership and faith was a rock. And in Matthew 16:16-17, it says, "Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'You are blessed. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overcome it.'" He was a man of strong leadership, immense courage, deep compassion, and an amazing love for the Lord. He wasn't perfect, but his heart was right with the Lord. Now, we're getting back to us. So, the narrow gate. So going through life, all sorts of things can take us away from choosing Jesus, the right direction. It can be our will, our egos, past hurts, negative. There's a few things I'm reading out here because we've got a lot of things. It can be our wills, our egos, our past hurts, negative input from others, the devil putting thoughts in our minds. That's a sneaky one, isn't it? When the devil puts thoughts in mind, you start to think on things that are not what you should be thinking on, and it can grow on that. And I have a right to do it my way. I have a right to do it my way. I've always done it this way. Again, there are things that can take us away from the Lord. The gate is wide, very wide when we go that way. So I'm just going to share. Now, those that follow devotionals would have known or would have heard this, my last devotional about my eye. And I'm going to share it again today because many of you haven't heard it. But many of you know that I was diagnosed with a low-grade lymphoma, which is cancer in the back of the eye, some months ago. It was right back in the back of the orbit, and found out later it was also in the back of the eyeball. It's all good now, so don't get all depressed. It's all good. It's all good. The results are good. I didn't want to drag that out. It's amazing. But at the beginning, of course, I was anxious and a little bit concerned. And going through the process, everything seemed to take 2 weeks. You'd get a test done, takes 2 weeks. Get to see another specialist, 2 weeks. Everything seemed to draw out 2 weeks. And me being me, I wanted it fixed now. That's what I'm like. Ask Eve, it drives her bonkers. I want it done now. I want to take control. I want it fixed. And, you know, it can drive me bonkers as well. If we go to Romans 8:28, but we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, I was starting to get a bit stressed when I was out walking, because it was taking a while. I even went online and started to look, starting heading in to looking at the results of the x-rays without being to the doctor. What was that going to do? I'd look and go, what? I had no idea. But look, I was getting stressed. Anyway, I was out walking and I was playing a song. I was listening to Spotify and a song just come on that I'd never heard before, and Wait On You. And Wait On You, it's just the title is Wait On You. And since then I've played it over and over and over again, and I even play it now. And some of the words were, I've tasted your goodness, I trust in your promise. I'm going to wait on you. Yes, I'm going to wait on you. Wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. So wait, I say, wait on the Lord. You will get a little stronger. That's what happens when you wait on the Lord. And that's what I did. I kept listening to that song and I kept saying, I wait on you, Lord. That was my choice. If I did it my way, I'd be going through my gate, or I'd be going through the wider gate. And that is not a good place for me to be, because the fruit of that would be worry and anxiety, which I'm prone to have. So going through this whole process, totally contrary to who I've been in the past. Worry and anxiety wasn't there. People would come up and say, you worried? No, I'm not. I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. All the way through it. I was not concerned at all once I got that song and once I got to that place. So there was good news when I went and all the results come back. The lymphoma was only in one spot. It wasn't here. It wasn't anywhere else in the rest of my body. So I only needed to have radiation treatment in that right eye orbit. Eve, can you pass that up to me? Thanks. So to have that happen, they need to pin you down like you're on a rack in an old castle. Right. So what they need to do is pin you down, because obviously they're trying to zap one spot. They don't want you wobbling around everywhere. So they get you to lie down on a bench with your head in a bit of a cushion thing, solid. And then the first time you go there, they get a flat bit of plastic that was flat. And they heat it up to 400 degrees and put it on your face. I thought that might be funny, but it's not really, is it? Not that hot. No, it's heated up so that it's warm enough just to push down over your face. So it's not painful in any way. But for me, I'm going to put it on in a minute, but for me, who suffers from claustrophobia and panic attacks, this wasn't looking good. But so they push it right back like that and you can hardly talk. And you can't move and you're just stuck. Stuck. So the first day, actually, you don't want to be looking at that, do you? I'll put it in that way. The first time was the longest, because I had to mould it and I had to push it down and adjust it. And so at the beginning of that, I'd organised to get all sorts of medication, sedatives and that, the lot. But I didn't take them. I thought, no, I'll try it. And so when they pinned me down, all I could think of, wait on you, Lord, wait on you, wait on you, Lord, wait on you. I got through that first day, but there were 11 more to go. As I go there the next day, I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. So obviously I went and I lied down and they pinned me down. And as I was going down, wait on you, Lord. And it was working a bit, but I was still starting to go, oh, I'm not feeling good here. And then Lord gave me a vision. And the vision was, I'm looking at myself as a young kid and I'm walking away and the Lord's walking away with me. And he has my hand, and he's holding my hand like this, walking away, and we're looking at each other, chatting and smiling. So in my vision, I'm looking from behind, Lord. I'm walking, Lord's walking, holding my hand, and we're looking and chatting and laughing. God had my hand through it. He had my hand. And this is where I start to get emotional, if I'm going to. He had my hand through it. And all I needed to do was just think on him through it. And I got through those 12. It wasn't nice. I wasn't going there hopping and skipping and running in to get tied down into the bench. But it wasn't that bad. I got through it okay. Well, I better put my glasses on. Yeah, I got through it okay. And so I was able to choose which gate. Now, if I had chosen the wrong one and just went by myself, man, I would have been on sedatives and come out there a zombie. But God was with me and he took me through it. And just before I go any further, look, this for me is nothing compared to what other people have been through. Nothing. I've seen other people there going through all sorts of things. And life in general, there are other people I'm going to mention later that have gone through far worse than what I've been through. But it's just an illustration of how God can be there with you when we look to him, when we turn our eyes to him and seek him out. The whole thing was the lymphoma experience has been humbling. And I'm so glad I picked that firm foundation in him. And I didn't sink. All the results are good, as I said. It's come back. All I've got, zapping that, they killed the tear gland, which means I've got no tear gland, which produces tears. So that's no deal. People, no big deal, really. That's why I'm squirting here, if you see me squirt this. Squirt that every so often. But that's fine. It's not as bad as what it could have been, and not as bad as what other been. It's funny, I gave myself a squirt before I come up, and I just had to laugh. Because it reminds me when I'm doing it, God's with me when I'm doing that. And what a relief it is, no matter how often I have to do it, that I am where I am. God is so good. Yeah. So what it's done is built my trust in him. It's strengthened me. As I said, we learn so much going through these things. Sometimes we're put in a place where it's obvious we need to choose him. We haven't got much option sometimes. But it's still a choice. And other times we're in a place where we can choose one of two ways, and usually we choose our way. We go the way we want to go. Jocks. Not jocks, socks. Socks, sorry. Forget about jocks. Forget jocks, socks. This is, just forget about that, socks. This is an illustration, all right? It's about socks. I love my socks. Let's say I bought these amazing socks that when you walk on them, they're like walking on air. Oh, man, they're so good. The material on them is like silk. In summer, you put them on and they let the air through. In winter, they automatically cool your feet, heat your feet. They're so amazing. You put your shoes on, you can't feel your shoes. Oh boy, but they do wear out. But they're amazing. And I really looking forward to putting them on. I'm sitting on the edge of the bed. I've got them there. I'm going to put them on. Cost me a heap. As I'm sitting there putting them on, just about to put them on, the Lord says, I want you to wear your old socks. Not jocks, socks. Socks. Old socks. I don't want to wear my old socks. Oh, no. Not my old socks. No. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So I lay down again, go to put on my new socks. Lord says, no, I want you to wear your old socks. I can't wear my old socks. They've got a hole in the heel. All the bottom's worn out. Socks. Toes worn out. And they've gone all baggy and they fall down into my shoe when I walk. There's nothing. Oh, they're terrible. Terrible. I'm not wearing them, Lord. I'm not wearing them. So I bend down one more time. The Lord says, no, I want you to wear your socks, your old socks. Oh, okay. But I wanted to wear the others because I get a buzz out of it when I wear them. So much enjoyment out of it. They wear out, but so much enjoyment out of it. So I finally give in and I say, okay, I'll put my old socks. As soon as I put my old socks on, peace comes over. None of those desires are the things that were just out there before. Just peace and rest and love because I've surrendered to the Lord. Sometimes God gives us a choice. And we think it's a bad choice. But when we make that choice, it's amazing what he does with us when we surrender. When we surrender, there is peace and rest for us. A very influential and powerful speaker said, "We move from building our lives on sand, ego, status, and self-will, to surrender life grounded in Christ, who is both the Word and the Rock." That was Pastor Lisa. Do we choose our ways? Fear, self-pity, anger, hatred, unforgiveness, ego, pride, self-will. I will do it my way. Or the Rock, Jesus. And we receive the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Love and peace, I highlight. Love and peace. Love and peace when we choose him. We need to reshape, redefine, reimagine who we are. Redoing things in a better way. Doing things differently. Doing things better. We do it wrong. Next time we do it better by surrendering and grabbing his hand. We miss the gate over and over. We need to train ourselves to think on him first. Think on him first. Train ourselves. Not go our way. Think on him first. Not the second or third or fourth, the first. Change our thoughts. Think on him first. If the band would like to come up, thanks. Michaela. Can you put that rock picture up, number four? Thanks, Mel. Okay. Now, we will muck things up at times and we'll slip off the rock. But if our hearts are for the Lord, we won't sink. His hand is on us. He holds us. He holds us on his rock. Just as he did with Peter when he went walking on water. And just he did as with me in the vision. Standing firm with Jesus, for his love overcomes. Love overcomes. Deuteronomy 32, 4. He is a rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. He always stands firm with us. We've just got to stand firm with him. And this is where I might get a bit emotional. This is why I wanted to honour a couple. I'm not going to mention their name. Many of you will know who I'm talking about. They're not here today. That even makes it more clear who it is. But I haven't asked them permission to share it. And I just want to honour them for what they've been through over the last few years. As parents, they lost a child. They've been sick. They've had issues, health issues, over the last few years. But they're still standing on his rock. Yes, there might have been doubts. Yes, thoughts of unanswered prayers. Yes, of questioning. Yes, of struggling. Lots of tears. But they're still standing on his rock. They're an example to us. When we look at them, just go, wow, look at this couple. They are amazing. Yeah, they probably don't feel it at times, but they are, because they're still standing on his rock. Still standing. He has them. They probably didn't realize it, but he has them by the hand. He's holding on to them. There are people here, so I wrote this ending bit before I'd done all the rest of the message. There are people here today who need to make a decision on something one way or the other. On something one way or the other. Now, it could be going through Jesus' gate, picking his gate, and going with him for eternity, and meeting with him. Or it could be just us recommitting and say, I want to get closer to you, Lord. I want to spend more time. I want to surrender and get closer to you. Enter your gate and walk with you closer than I've ever done before. That's an opportunity too. I'm just going to pray this, and if you could all say it after me. You can stay seated, it's fine. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Yeah, just say after me if you would. I choose to walk through your gate today. I surrender myself to you. I ask forgiveness of all my sins. And I open my heart to know your love. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I just want to go back to the analogy of the socks, the jock socks. Look, as I said, it might be you're making a decision on something one way or the other. Is it what you desire, what you think you desire, or is it what God really knows what you need? What is the choice you need to make? Now that, if you want prayer, after we've stood up and we've sang, you can come up while the band's playing, we'll pray for you. You don't have to tell us, we can just pray for discernment. But if it's you, come forward and we can pray for you. Make a decision on something going one way or the other. When we make the decision for the Lord, man, it is the place to be. Rest in peace. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks.
The universe. Feel free to stand if you would like. Sing with this with us.